time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm wearing my new shirt. My wife got, I got kind of a sweatshirt fetish. I don't know if I've ever told you that or not. And my wife got me a new one for my birthday. It says Unashamed. And you probably can't read it because I couldn't hardly read it anyway. She said to me yesterday, how come you haven't worn your sweatshirt yet? So here I am this morning, Michelle, on my second day of my 66th year on life. I'm still unashamed, or more unashamed than I've ever been. In fact, the older I get, the less I care what people think. It's fabulous. I was having a conversation with a guy the other day, and that's what I told him. I said, you know, the difference between me and you is I don't really care what people think. I really don't care. I mean, can you stop and think about this? I want to go about 15 different directions this morning. Stay with me. Why have we allowed godlessness? Although that's not even true. There's no such thing as godlessness, because ultimately Satan creates in us a desire to be little God. We want to be the God, right? It's Romans. Talks about that in Romans as well. We want to be God. We want to be like God. That's what Satan said when he fell. And that's what Satan said to Eve. Your eyes shall be open, and you shall know good from evil, and you shall be like God. So there's really no such thing as godlessness. In fact, the scripture says that Ten Commandments, I have no other gods before me. So there are other gods. God, that's good. Boy, if you knew where I want to go right now. I want to go into Greek mythology. I've been watching that stuff. Was that all stuff all made up? Zeus and Hercules. Is that all made up? How does that apply in the Bible? But I'm on someplace else. How did the devil, the evil, did you know that evil is live, live, spelled backwards? Did you ever know that? L-I-V-E is life, live, and evil is E-V-I-L, just spelled backwards. Not that that means anything. I thought that was kind of interesting. How did the devil get so much in control? If God is all powerful, and if we look around, can somebody explain to me how did the LGBTQRS, how did they get in such authority? How did that deviant lifestyle become the ruler of the day? And it is the ruler of the day, right? You can't post on Facebook if you mention something against deviant sexual behaviors. You can't post on Facebook. They'll throw you off YouTube. How did that power, where did they get that power from? How has that happened? How did we go from tolerance to acceptance to approval to, I don't even know what that next step is. You can't even speak against
it. Next step is celebrate.
Well, we're there, Larry, mm-hmm. But right now it's punishment. See, if you don't celebrate it, you punish. And we understand that even in their own, now David Arthur would argue with this, but even in the statistics that they quote, they would say it's only about 3%. Maybe they would go as high as 10. And David would say it's, you know, this is really good. Lord, give me some direction here. Help me here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Joe.
It's the fear of the separation of church and state.
Mm. Okay, how'd they make that happen, Joe? I agree with you, Joe. In fact, I'm heading there. Stay with me. David Arthur would say this, and the more I think about it, the more I believe it. David, I hope you're home. Hope you got home okay. I don't see if you're in here yet. The more I think about it, the more I come to the conclusion that all sin is simply behavior. It's all just behavior. Homosex is just behavior. Drug addiction is just a behavior. It's giving in to an urge, into a behavior. Adultery is just a behavior. Really all it is.
Masturbation is just a behavior. Looking at porn, it's just a behavior. It's really, really all it is. And so when the Bible tells us that getting drunk is just a behavior, swearing at somebody is just a behavior. Road rage, that's just a behavior. And a behavior is just an outward expression of some type of emotional response, usually an emotional response. And so homosex, bisex, no sex, it's just a behavior. And what we've tried to do, abortion is just a behavior. All the gospel was designed to do is to control behavior. Well, that's not all, but 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. He would destroy the works of the devil. And see, the works of the devil only appear. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus said, you shall know them by what they do. The fruit. See, you don't know somebody's fruit till they do something to expose the fruit. And many of us have been around a lot of people, and we get to know them when we get to know people personally. In fact, let's say famous people personally, public figures personally. People will say, what's he like in real life? Because real life exposes behaviors and who we are. And that's why they're trying so hard to catch Donald Trump with secret tapes, because they really want to know his behavior. Because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your behavior demonstrates what you believe.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, boy, this is good all of a sudden. Lord's taking me here. Go ahead.
You know what it is? A lot of people treat the internet like they treat drinking. For example, you'll hear a lot of people say, after a night of binging and they end up doing something stupid, oh, that wasn't me, I was drunk.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, a lot of people get drunk and don't do that. A lot of people get drunk and do things, and they take responsibility for those things. They own those things.
See, that's right.
I don't think Donald Trump has any aberrant behavior. He does exactly what you see him do now, and they can't put that together.
Oh, I disagree with it in one way, Vinny. Let me disagree with you this way. I believe before Donald Trump became president of the United States, he did a lot of aberrant behavior. I believe that.
Sure.
However, now listen, when he became president of the United States, you know what happened? He was forced to discipline himself. He had to stop doing some things he had done in the past, right? All sin is behavior.
Amen.
For all of us, all sin is behavior. Michelle's phone got wet yesterday. She's all panicked about it this morning because it won't charge back up. And, you know, she dropped it and something got wet. And you know what I think? I think, how can you get your phone wet? That's what I, you know. Now, I could attack her on that. Say, you dummy. What were you thinking? I choose not to do that. So therefore, all sin, all behavior is a reaction to something. We call it temptation. Where does temptation come from? I want to get into some of that here maybe this morning. We call it temptation. But the scripture tells us that there's no temptation that's come upon us but that which is common to man, and God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can withstand. But with the temptation, he will provide a way out. So you don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. All sin is a choice. Let's say I'm a homosexual, okay? Now, David, I don't know if David's in here. David would say, you can't be a homosexual. Coach, we've all heard him say that. Everybody's born everybody's born heterosexual. Homosexuality is just a deviant behavior. Yeah, it's just a deviant behavior, right? So I could right now, if I had to, could I live the rest of my life celibate? Could I have sexual attractions to women, specifically my wife, and live the rest of my life celibate? Could my wife and I come together and say, honey, in order to honor the Lord, we are going to remain celibate? Yes, we could. We could control that behavior. Could I go 40 days without eating any food? Absolutely, I could. I've done it before. Why? The power of the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to be able to say no to it, to control every type of behavior. We have the ability to control every type of behavior. Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Now, he would not have said that to her if it were not possible. He didn't say, go and don't commit adultery. He says, no, you, neither do I condemn you. Go and stop sin. That's basically what he said. Go and sin no more. So before Christ came, that was not possible for us to be able to do that. All right. Now, keeping that in mind, you know, the Bible talks about inventors of evil things. In fact, is that the Jared, see, I hope I'm in the right place. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think. Hold it up there for me real quick. Am I doing okay? Hang with me and stuff. I gotta get this done. I'm wrestling with me, right? Sometimes you wrestle not with flesh and blood. I'm wrestling with me right now and some stuff that I've been doing a little bit of research on, trying to listen. I know what I believe, and I know the truth of the Bible, but I also know that there's truth outside the Bible, too. It's true. Listen, it's truth. The Bible does not teach me how to cut a board, a tube of four. The Bible does not teach me how to cut a tube of four perfectly. It doesn't teach me how to. That is worldly knowledge that I developed. Now, the Bible does teach me about unjust weights and measures, and it's important to measure it properly. It teaches me all those principles of truth. They're all there. But the Bible does not teach us about everything. There are things out there is truth. Oh, they're going to start calling me a heretic. There's truth outside the Bible. However, it is always connected to biblical truth. Larry, am I making sense there? Am I making sense to anybody but me? I feel like I'm just the Bible is the source of all truth, but it's not the only place you'll find truth.
Of course.
Does that sound better?
Amen, brother.
Okay, that's a point. So I asked Jared to pull up what being filled with all unrighteousness. We're just Romans 1. Okay, Jared, thanks. Backbiters verse Romans for those who are not watching. Romans 1 verse 30 says backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now, we also know that there's nothing new under the sun. But see, here's what pornography does this to you. Pornography takes you from merely having a sexual relationship with your wife to then maybe having sexual relationship or fantasizing of having sexual relationship with two women, or then maybe having sexual fantasies of relationships with a man, and then maybe a sexual relationship of a relationship between a man and a woman, and then maybe pornography would take me to thoughts of having a sexual relationship with an animal. Oh, you're grown up. You know I'm telling you the truth. Or just other places you could put your thing, if you know what I'm talking about. That's a process of inventors of evil things. Doing things that on your own you would have never considered doing. Now, the heart of man is wicked. We know that. That his thoughts are wicked all the time. It says it somewhere in there. I don't know where. I know that my heart's all deceitfully wicked. My thoughts are always evil. I think the scripture says that. And until I receive Christ, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? That wasn't exactly the one I'm looking for, Jared, but it is the same thing. Given to you, see, the unrestrained heart is deceitfully wicked. So the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to be able, the Lord says he searches the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So we have all of this is coming in. Everything we see in America is nothing more than a behavior. Somebody was trying to come in. I heard you. Come on back in.
Yeah, that's me, Coach. Hey, on the Drudge Report last night, I almost sent it to you, but it was so vile, I just chose not to send it out. A chimpanzee chained up and people been having sex with a shaved chimpanzee multiple times a day, and that is how vile the male human heart can become.
That's right. Inventors of evil things. By the way, Bobby, I saw that. I did see that. So, I mean, it is unbelievable, isn't it? But see, until we come to the realization that everything we do is behavior, and you don't just give in to every urge and every behavior. If you control your behavior, your life will change. It was blustery, wicked. It's just miserable around here yesterday. Sleet. And I said, you know what? I'm still going to walk. I'm still going to get in my walk because the weather's going to get worse. And I'll just walk 3 miles. That's all I did. I'll just walk 3 miles. And I got out there and I'm walking 3 miles and it's hitting me in the face and got the dog walking with it. And he chases after a deer and I'm getting mad. I said, this is miserable. I'm going home. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to walk 6 miles. And I did it. And I walked 6 miles. Why? Because it is a behavior and we have the ability to control our behavior. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Say, Coach, where are you going? I got to take you someplace. Can I do that this morning? Can I backtrack just a second here real quick? Because I want to mention again. Listen, we're going to go to Florida on December 9th through the 15th, whatever. That week we're going to go. We'd love for some of you to come. And Jim Kraft contacted me yesterday and says, Coach, listen, we don't want a bunch of kids coming down there with us running around. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And I suggested yesterday that maybe some of you would bring a younger guy with you. Now, listen, if you're bringing a younger guy with you, it's only you are responsible for that younger guy. You're not going to bring a youth group down there and turn them loose and we're going to be, no, no, no. If you have a son or a nephew or somebody that you are personally going to be taking responsibility for, Jim is right. This is dangerous work, dangerous. So we'd still love you to come. And if you're going to come, please let us know so we can make the proper arrangement. Okay. And then the second thing I got to throw up here real quick. I'm still looking to, we're working right now, January, February, I'm looking to do huddles. I'm looking to come to your town and do huddles. Let's get those on the calendar right now. Let's fill up that calendar so we can go and continue. We got great momentum going and I don't want to lose momentum here at the boy. Oh boy. Did you listen to Steve Quayle on Hagmann last night? Probably many of you didn't. You need to listen to Steve Quayle on the Hagmann report last night. And that's why I'm so flummoxed this morning. I got 1,000 different things that I want to be able to talk to you about. All of them that I think are so, so critical and so important that, can dare I say that, that might be a key that unlocks a door that you, that's what I'm about. That's what we try to be about here. I want keys to unlock doors that we're not afraid to look into. We're not afraid to look in that. Not afraid. Why are men choosing to have sex with chimpanzees? Hey, what is that about? Something going on that would cause a man to do that.
It's the same reason they go after 13-year-old boys and girls, brother.
Yes, but what? What is causing that to happen? Well, I would come back and I would say it is demonic. Yada yada yada. Jared, go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. I got. I look at the stuff I threw up here. I'm gonna read this again, folks, because to me this just came echoing back to me last night. I was doing some research and doing some different stuff, and boom, there was it. I cannot get away from it. When you ask people why did Jesus come, they'll give you 1,000 different things. God, he so loved the world that he came to save the world. He came to save me. Why did Jesus come? A lot of reasons. Came to what? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This is 1 John 3. Those of you who are not watching but listening, 1 John 3, not John 3, not God so loved the world. 1 John, first letter of John to John. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him. That's what I started talking about. I don't care what people think about me. You know why I don't care about me? Because I'm not of the world. I don't care. I'm operating in this world. I see the world operating differently than most people see it. And if they saw what I saw, if they knew what I knew, if they understood what I understood, they wouldn't think the way they think. And so I started out saying, well, how can the homos be so much in control? It's because those of us who carry the name of Christ, we've yielded it to them. We We have, for whatever reason, we've believed that malarkey. And for whatever reason, they are so aggressive. See, they are more aggressive making sure that unchristian values are in place. They're more committed to that than we are committed to having Christian values in place. There ain't anything. They just want to do whatever they want to do, and we don't want to do what's right. That's the battle. And then they told us, well, yeah, but who are you to tell someone else what they can do? Well, that's what the whole Bible's about. We're not telling them. We're teaching them. Teaching them not to do that. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Oh, goodness. Remember my dad telling me one time, hey, boy, Dobb Myers, don't act like that. Beloved, George.
Coach, real quick, you know, I think what's happening today, it's not society at large is not just pushing God aside. It's the complete replacement of God. For instance,
it is
like with CERN, you know, they're trying to find the God particle. Why are they trying to find the God particle? It's not just to say, oh, God, we'll push you aside here. It's to replace God and to do things completely man's way, which becomes in itself God.
They're totally, completely convinced there is no God, and they're out to prove it, George. That's it. You say replacement, it's actually the killing. Nothing's ever changed. They're out to kill the idea of God. That's what they're trying to do. All right? Go back to 1 John. Beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We don't see God now as he is. Hey, we don't see him as he is. Does it right there. And every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, even as he is pure. So in other words, even after you receive Christ, you aren't totally purified. There's a purification process required. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself. How do you purify yourself? By beginning to control your behaviors. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Well, what law? No fornication, no adultery. That's sin, transgressing the law. That's what it is. And we know that he was manifested. Why? To take away our sins. So he came to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. What's this? So whoever abideth in him doesn't sin. What? Well, that's what it says. Somebody get an eraser for me or a magic marker. We can mark that one out of there. Whoever abideth in him doesn't sin. And whoever sinneth, have not seen him, neither know him. I feel you, Larry. Abide in sin. Not occasionally commit a sin, but to abide in sin. Would you agree with that, Larry? A continual, habitual, sinful behavior.
And also abiding in Jesus. When we are focused in Jesus, we don't sin. When you stop focusing in Jesus, that's when you're out there and you're subject to falling and getting into real sin.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, you there?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, this is Ken Sundermeyer in Cleveland with Pastor Sanders.
Here, Ken. How you doing?
I'm thinking about our government in Columbus, Ohio, and the heartbeat bill. I'm here on Mrs. David Porter, Janet Folger Porter's website, f2a.org.
Right.
Talking about the heartbeat bill.
Right.
Yeah, Governor Kasich has threatened another abortion-enabling veto on the heartbeat bill.
Right, Ken, right.
Yeah, it got passed through our Ohio House. It was powerful. Christina Hagan got up with her two twin babies she was carrying and introduced the heartbeat bill. And it passed with a veto-proof majority, 60 votes in our Ohio House. Now it's up to the Senate.
Right. Well, Ken, let me show you what's going on here. If you just sit tight, I'm going to show you something here. I'm going to expose something to you. See, first of all, we should not be begging. We should not be begging our leaders to do the right thing. We got it backwards. When we hear, now I'm not making fun of anybody. I say, well, you gotta call your legislator. What? I gotta call him to tell him to stop killing babies. I gotta call him. Hang on, where am I? 1 John 3. I'm heading there. Good to have you there, Ken.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Back to what you were saying earlier about the Spirit. I've always said there's people that says that they're filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, but yet they sin. Then you're saying the Spirit sins.
If they're being led by it, that's right.
Exactly. You're just saying the Holy Spirit sins.
Little children, let no man. Yeah, go ahead. Was that you, Rod?
I wanted Larry made a comment, which is, I think is relevant. Again, I've always felt in my own personal life, the closer I am towards God, the more I abideth with him, the stronger I am to defeat sin. That's just the way it's been for me. If my quiet time is good, my Bible reading is good, my fellowship is good, there's a direct correlation with my sin nature. It's reduced.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
because sin is behavior. Sin is behavior.
And all behavior is choice.
Amen.
Somebody just said, when we're led by the Spirit, we don't sin. That is 100% true. That means if we find ourselves in sin, we let ourselves there.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Folks, you're not righteous if you sin. Even as he is righteous. Okay, here's where I'm heading. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How about this? He that committeth sin is influenced by the devil. He that committeth sin is, in essence, serving the devil. Now, you may not be doing it purposefully, yet you are, because every sin is a transgression of God's law, and every sin is a behavior. So if you commit sin, you are serving someone other than God. And the scripture says you're serving the devil.
Hey, Coach, and this is such an important subject. Jesus reminded us, or Jesus told us, to remind ourselves about this every single day. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're to remind ourselves that we're to follow his leading. Lord, you lead, we'll follow. You lead, we'll follow.
So Coach, going all the way back to the garden, you know, you're talking about the habits. The Lord looks at Cain and he said, Cain, sin crouches at your door, but you must master it. In other words, that's that wrestling with that eternal. And then back to that Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is wicked, it's sick, and it's deceitful. Coach, your heart don't deceive me. My heart don't deceive you, but my heart can deceive me.
Oh,
this
buddy.
Is the heart is wicked, sick, and deceitful. Who can know it? Who can know it? And then in verse 14, God doesn't live without hope. He says, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. What's first being healed? The lust of the heart. Save me, Lord, and I'll be saved.
Amen. So there's part of us that's just wicked, right? So listen. Struggling with porn? I got a solution for you. Turn off the freaking computer. There's always a way out. He that committeth sin. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, real quick. James 1:14-15, they tell us real quickly, I'll just read it. It tells exactly how we get enticed. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So it's our lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, so you have to have lust first, then it conceives, it bringeth forth sin.
Sin babies! And then sin babies is conceived!
Yep. Then sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So it tells us exactly the process of how we sin.
That's right. You can't germinate that that thought of lust. Yeah, back to First John. Back to First John, Jared.
Go ahead. You know, Satan appeals to our feeling good or lusts. You know, lust is more than sexual. Lust is desiring after anything that you shouldn't be.
Right.
Satan appeals to our feeling good. God appeals to our thinking right. Thus, the word righteousness.
That's why it's the battleground of the mind, right? He that committeth sin, verse 8, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God showed up, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You don't have to sin. Sin is a choice. Homosex is a choice. Porn is a choice. Overeating is a choice. Lying is a choice. Stealing is a choice. Everything is a choice. How do we know that? Because right here, he destroyed the works of the devil. And where did he destroy the works of the devil? Well, in you. When he destroys the works of the devil, the effectiveness of sin in you, then your job is to go and do likewise. Go teach others everything that he's commanded us. And lo, he's with us always, even unto the end of the age. But in the American Christian church today, you're being taught, and I am being taught, we're all sinners. Go ahead and sin. It's under the blood. Would anybody disagree with that? Is that not the message of the church? Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. It's all okay. Go ahead and sin. It's under the blood. Once saved, always saved.
Well, and it's just this constant forgiving grace spirit. There's never any discussion of there's a little wrath coming if you keep on doing this.
Mm-hmm. The scripture tells us this. That we have if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Where is that, Jared? Where is that? If we sin, listen, I think this is important to understand. Habitual sin as opposed to falling into a sin. Those are not the same.
John chapter 2, verse 1.
First John, when you know it, First John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that you don't sin. And if any man does sin, he says, not supposed to, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By the whole world, he meant anybody who would, right? And he hereby do we know that we know him. Wow.
Coach, that word is propitiation there, and that is one who interposes himself to ease the anger of another. God's wrath was angered towards mankind.
Jared goes to propitiation. I was just thinking that. The act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person. Wow. In theology, the atonement of stoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and render him propitious. Christ is
and we think that God just loves us, huh? God was ready to pour out his wrath and wipe it all off the earth, bro.
That's why the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Denny, I think I heard you come in.
Yeah, last night I happened to listen to Mike Spaulding's program, and he had a guest on there and hit me at what I've always believed, but then he showed me Psalms 89, verse 14. It was powerful to me. It just really struck me with the throne of God's. The foundation of the throne of God is righteousness and justice. From that comes God's love and mercy.
But there it is right there. Huh?
With righteousness and justice. And without justice. That, you're not going to get love and mercy.
But justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So the foundation is justice and judgment. Wow. By the way, I watched Pastor Mike last night too. I'm good. Something going on, boys. Something's going on. They talked last night about soldiers of the cross, warriors of the cross, who are being awakened for sure. So the purpose of Christ was to do what? To do away with sin. Sin where? In us, but more specifically through us. You can't be let me give you this picture. I'm the football coach. And I find out that after the Friday night football game, 10 of my players were out getting drunk. And when I find out about it on Monday, I have to deal with it. I get all the 10 guys in the room, one of them, by the way, being the captain of the team. And I get them in the room and I say, guys, is this true? Are you guys out there sucking some buds after the game? Did you do that? And they go around, yeah, coach, I did. Yeah, coach, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And they come to the captain of the team. And he says, coach, I didn't have one drop. Am I going to say, oh, I'm so proud of you? Or am I going to say, the hell are you doing? Let these other guys do it. What are you doing? That's us, see? That's, folks, that is us. We can't just say, well, I didn't do it. I'm clean. Well, I'm clean. Yeah. We're supposed to be teaching others. Jesus came to destroy sin. Oh, we got this so upside down, backwards.
So let me ask a question, Coach. So are we to exhort people not to sin, or are we empowered to physically prevent them from sinning?
Brother, I'll get thrown out of the church. But I think we are supposed to do everything we can to see that they don't. And that also includes punishment for sin. That's why I come back to the whole idea of the death penalty being justice. Death penalty being justice, because why? It is not about the guy who committed the crime. It's about those who are being impacted and affected by it. That is justice. You did it. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Out of here. Dude, you ain't doing that anymore. That's, in my opinion, justice. We've gone away from that because why? Mercy, 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 grace, 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 love, 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 love. And how many of you, I'm not going to start any family feuds out there, but how many of you have been in the midst of a battle inside your family where somebody is living a lifestyle that you just can't even put up with, and your wife or somebody says, well, we have to love them. Yes or no? What is love? How is love demonstrated? What does love look like? Brings me back yesterday to what we were talking about with Hesed. Hesed is mercy endureth forever. What is Hesed? What is that mercy that endureth forever?
Hey, oh, you know, yeah. What love looks like? Love looks like God destroying two entire cities. Just in the hope that it will influence some future people not to repeat what they did.
That's what I think. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I was watching my little, I'm proud of both of my sons-in-laws because they both are not afraid to discipline their children. I see both of them step up with their children and said, hey, I said no. And pick them up and take them into the other room. That's love, see. That's love. Why do we, who serve the God who is love, ignore discipline to others? Why do we do that? Go ahead. Somebody come in.
Coach.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm wondering, should we have been down in Columbus with an army to demand the passing of the heartbeat bill?
Yes, but I think we're too late. We're too late. Huh? It's never too late. It's never too late, okay? It's never too late. But how did we get to the place where our politicians aren't afraid of the church? Why do we have to go beg them to do what is right? Now, listen, I go beg them. I call them. I show up. I hold signs. I do all that stuff. I'm with you, Ken, on all that stuff. But why we dropped the ball when we allowed evil men to get in positions of authority. That's where we dropped the ball. And how did we drop that ball? We dropped the ball because the church says, well, there's a separation between the church and the state, and who am I to tell somebody else what they can do with their body, and what's right for me may not be right for you, and the entire standard is gone, and now we have to try to go convince them, please do the right thing. So I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, but my, we're so behind the eight ball.
Isn't that one of the signs of the last days, that each man will do what's right in his own mind?
Yeah. But, you know, hey, yeah, I know this, Denny. I don't talk much about the last days because I'm in my last ones. I got 14, 15, 20. How many I got left? I'm in my last ones. So my opportunity to influence the world is right now. It ain't 50 years from now. It ain't 100 years from now. And it's not 90 years ago. My opportunity to influence the world is right here, right now. And for whatever reason, we don't even do that.
Amen.
We see all this evil. They're teaching kids in public schools about transgenderism. And then we sit around like it doesn't even impact us. And then we see that they laugh. Oh, Lord, I got 17 places to go. Does anybody see this? Does anybody see what I'm trying to say?
Well, Coach, let me. We don't understand how far we have fallen, because the oldest guy on this huddle is maybe 70, 75. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay,
but you go back 100 years. Let me tell you what was illegal 100 years ago: adultery, sodomy, homosexuality, pornography, fornication, abortion, obviously. Divorce was rare and it could be contested. You couldn't rent a hotel room if they thought you weren't married. There were no co-ed colleges. There was no information on birth control mailed. their public schools were opened and closed with prayer. Okay. We praised heroes like the American Revolution and the Civil War and Manifest Destiny. All of that has changed in just 100 years, more specifically, just in the past 50 years. You talk about not allowing evil men into power. We've allowed effeminate men into power, because the soft Christianity is the effeminate side. It's not the masculine side that keeps society knitted together. Guess what else happened 100 years ago? Women got the right to vote.
Boy, you're getting deep now, Lord.
Okay, no, I am. Now, you may want to say that the opinions of members of the huddle are not the members of the opinion.
No, I don't want to say that, but it'll be me.
What did Adam do? What did Adam do? He chose his woman over God. What have we done? We have chosen the effeminate side, or permitted the effeminate side, over the masculine side. The thing that's kept Western civilization, Christian civilization, together now for 2,000 years. And we see what's happening. Okay, it's not now the bad stuff that's illegal. It is saying that bad stuff is illegal. So we have fallen a lot. It's not just abortion. We're fighting these little battles right now. Okay, but we've lost this place. We lost it.
Okay, so here's what we do. Here's what happens to us. This is by the way, Lowell, very, very good. Did you read that somewhere, or did you just come up with that? That's good. That's good stuff. See, here's.
No,
here's,
that's what my granddaddy told me. That's 70 years ago. Well, actually, 62 years ago.
You know, that's what I've been saying for a while. It's Genesis 3:16. We're living in the curse.
Okay, so stay with me here a second. So here's the church's response. What the Bible says is going to happen. That's it. That is what says going to happen. And so the church sits powerless. We have to get in cars and drive to Columbus to beg them to save babies. If that doesn't... I'm going to tell you something. Here in Ohio...
There's no fear.
There's no fear. If a bill comes up that they want to allow men to marry dogs, I can promise you this, the elected officials are not going to say to themselves, oh my goodness, what are those Christians going to do? Because they know the Christians aren't going to do anything other than gripe and moan and complain. No, they're going to say, oh my goodness, what are those dog catchers going to say? What are those pedophiles? That's what they're going to say, right? Because there's no fear of the Lord, none. The fear of God. We lost it a long time ago. Coach, where are you going? Stay with me. Lord, show me where to go. Jared, go to Rules with Radicals. Lord, that was really good. I got something. I got two things popping in my head right now that I want to go to. Jared's going to Rule with Radicals. Jared, while you're going there, go to Matthew 7 real quick. Golly. Stay right there, Jared. I want you to look. Imagine if the church adopted Alinsky's rules. All right? Here's Alinsky's rules for radicals. This is how they've upset the apple cart and continue to upset the apple cart. Barack Obama was a master at this, and they're still doing it. Okay, so let's apply Alinsky's rules for radicals to the church. Rule number one, church, power is not only what you have, but the what the enemy thinks you have. Let me ask you something. What does the enemy now think we have? Number two, hey, church, never go outside the expertise of your people. In other words, train our people more than how to get saved and how to love. And because we're not effective in the cultural wars, because we don't have any expertise on that. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. Number three, whenever possible, church, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Remember I told you that when you're arguing with the secular world, you have to win the secular debate first. Make them go outside their expertise. We don't ever do that. We accept it. We accept it. Oh, I was born homo. Oh, yeah? Prove it, dude. Prove it. Bruce Jenner thinks he's a woman. Really? Prove it, dude. Does the church operate that way? No, we love them. We are. They're just confused. We just love them. Four, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules, right? Make them live up to their own book of rules. They believe in choice, right? What about the choice of the baby? They believe in science. What about the scientific fact of a child being a human being at conception? Make them live up to their own damn rules. See, somebody's mad because I said damn. It's in the Bible. Five, see, the church is not intent. The church doesn't think we can win. We don't want to win. We want to complain. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, this is the one when I apply this, ooh, do the Christians around me get uncomfortable? When I begin to ridicule those lost lefties and the stupid crap they're saying, oh, the Christians get upset. You're not loving and you're harsh. Somebody say amen. Who's seen me do it?
I have, Coach, and I loved it and laughed.
What about saying hoorah?
Yeah, what about that? You understand? You understand what they're doing to us? We just want to love them. God is love. God's wrath, baby.
I call it a spirit of Elijah, brother. You'll taunt 400 of them while they're up there gashing themselves.
Amen. Rule six. Go ahead, George. Hey, yep.
You know, Coach, and this is a great conversation. You know, what we're commanded by Scripture is to do everything we can to stand. It says, after you've done everything, then you stand. Because as Christians, we're not doing everything. We're doing very little. But if we would do everything and then stand, God will do the rest, just like he did when he wiped out, was it 180,000 men in Assyria when Sennacherib tried to take Jerusalem? You remember that story?
Sort of.
I mean, man didn't do that, Coach. God did it. But you know what? We have to do everything to stand. And that's I don't think that's happening nearly to the degree it needs to today.
Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Pretty crude, rude, and mean, huh? They want to create anger and fear. So when I'm talking to somebody at the abortion clinic and she's a lesbian, I say, why would I take you seriously? You can't even figure out what to do with your sex organs. You don't even know where a penis goes. Oh, the Christians get so nervous around me. That's not very Christ-like. That's not very Christ-like. Verse number seven. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. They keep doing it without urging to come back. They want to do more of it. They're doing their thing and would suggest even better ways. Radical activists in this sense are no different than any other human beings. We all avoid unfun activities, but we revel at and okay. I'm going there. Okay, I'm going there. Matthew 7. Did I say that, Jared? Oh my God, I need 6 hours today. I need 6 hours today. Matthew 7. You ready for this one, Larry? Judge not, lest you be judged. All that go down for what judge you judge. We are blah, 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 all the way down through that, and goes on and on and on and on and on and on about don't cast it in your brother's eye. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, boom! There's a mic drop in the middle, and nobody sees it. Go to verse 5. Because here comes a mic drop. You for hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye. And once you can do that, then you can see. Hey, it didn't say don't cast it out of the other guy's eye. He says get it out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take it out of your brother's eye. Though if you say don't judge, no, get it out of your eye so you can do proper surgery on your brother's eye. It doesn't say don't do surgery on your brother's eye. It says get your mote out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take care of your brother's eye. And then here's a mic drop. Hey, Larry, and dude, don't give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We have got to stop extending the olive branch of peace to the dogs, who all we do is feed them and they turn again and rend us. It's right in the middle of Judge Not. It's right dead square in the middle of Judge Not.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know what I've learned? I've learned how few Christians it really takes to make change. I'll just give you a real example. At the abortion clinic, I can't tell you, and there's some days we'll have maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 people out there. And that's all it takes, because I can't tell you how many cars circle because they don't want to come in because they're ashamed, because they know there's a standard that's raised up against what they're doing. And that circle, they may eventually come in, but they're having to think and think about it. Well, what would happen if we had hundreds and thousands of Christians in every aspect of society where there's evil doing that? We would win almost instantly.
Well, George, first of all, boys and girls, can we be gut honest here? We don't want to win. We don't want to win. We want to win in the end, as if there's something righteous and holy about that. We don't want to win now. We don't want to do 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, he would annihilate, he would destroy the works of the devil. We don't want to do that now. Why, if we did that now, why, the end times would be a whole lot different, Coach. It's just going to get worse. It says that over and over and over. Brother, just sit back and hunker down and wait for the rap. What up? Are you kidding me?
Hey, Coach, when you go back into Genesis, when the Lord looked at Cain and he said, Cain, he says, you're going to go out in the barren land. It's going to be destituted. People are going to recognize you for what you've done. You know what Cain's response to that? Oh, this is too much for me. Lord, this is too much. Cain didn't care about the fact that he just killed his brother. The only thing Cain cared about was the fact is what was he going to have to walk through? And he wanted God to reprieve him of what was going to come upon him. He didn't care about the reproof of the sin that was upon him.
Amen, brother. Amen. So, well, because again, it's the same thing. Victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Well, what? Then why are we living in such defeat? If there's victory in Jesus, what?
You know, it's the kingdom of our own heart. We only care about us, even the Christian. The old cliche song, it's all about me.
No,
don't give that which is holy to the dogs. I can't think of anything more holy than God's word.
Brother, I'm telling you.
Guess what? God's word is not for the world to get saved. And I'll show you in scripture where it's not for the world to get saved.
They can't understand it.
2 Timothy 3:16, another 3:16 verse here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here's the reason for scripture, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the reason for the holy word of God. The reason for the holy word of God is not to go out there and everybody in the world get saved. That's a mission of the man of God for his good works. But the scripture is to build up that man of God, not to throw away and give to the world that could give a crap about the scripture.
So here's the problem, fellas. Here's the battle. The battleground is in our own family circle. Meaning what? Within the church. We've lost the church. When you lose the church, you're going to lose the world. We've lost the church. So we could be calling the state senators on the heartbeat bill. We could be doing that. Or we could be calling the pastors. Hey, pastors, what's going on here? Do you know they're killing babies? See, we have got to influence the influencers.
Yeah, let me jump in here, Coach.
Please do.
Yeah, I saw Creed 2 over the weekend, and there's a scene in there after he's getting ready to fight Apollo Jr., the big Russian, and he says, I know why they want to fight, but why do you want to fight? Yeah, that's a profound statement.
What a line, huh?
But we don't even want to fight. I mean, if you're going to fight somebody as big and as powerful and as trained as Russian Jr. in Creed 2, you need to be ready to bite down and go to war. Now, and that's why he asked Apollo Jr. that question, because it's one thing to fight a regular fighter. It's another thing to go to war with a monster. And when you do that, you got to bite down and step into it. And we can't even fight on we don't even want to fight on the small scale, let alone go to war to win.
The battle belongs to the Lord, brother.
Hey, Coach, get this revelation. Here I am. I'm a district manager for Papa John's Pizza. And I walk into a store one night, and there's pizzas all over the place that needed to be delivered. And the manager looks at me, goes, man, look at this. He says, we're kicking butt. I said, you moron. I said, you're not kicking butt. I said, you're getting your butt kicked. I said, this pizza does nobody good in the store. I said, you need people to get that pizza out of the store. That's the mentality of the church.
That's right.
We're getting our butts kicked.
We're trying to get the pizzas in the store. Hey, listen, fair warning here. Fair warning. Tomorrow. I'm going to put this hat on because I've been camping on this for a couple days thinking, nah, some of them aren't ready for it. Some of them aren't ready for it. But boys and girls, there's something going on and we still ain't got figured it out. And I'm going to put this on tomorrow and I'm going to try to open your eyes to some things that just might be going on. That might just be happening. That might just be able to explain why some of this stuff is the way it is. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and gouge you. Oh, man. We got to learn how to fight this war. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.